bring in a guy I've interviewed a few times through my time working with Joey Kent on the Tennessee Tailgate Show. Great running back, former player at the University of Tennessee, hashtag VFL. Aaron Hayden joining us on the line. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, man. Anytime. A lot of news happening up on the hill, so I'm sure you guys will be busy today.
Oh, you have no idea. I guess we're just going to get right into it. First, I want to say go Vols, okay? This is our first introduction together. But after that, tell us, you know him. You say you worked at him with Mizzou. That was a tweet that you had out there. People screenshotting and sending it around, and they trust you because you've been around them. So if you could simply fill us in on Josh Heupel.
I think what you're going to get is a very real person, down to earth, no ego. It seems I was at a lot of practices with Mizzou when they were recruiting Chase when he was the OC at Mizzou, and the kids love him. I mean, he's the guy that they run around, you know, they chest bump, they hip bump, they hug his neck, they poke fun at him, but he's in control the whole time. So I think he's one of those player coaches that, you know, not trying to sell you on anything, not trying to demean you or in any way. He's just a, you know, a guy that loves football. He's a former player. And I tell you what, it reminds me of, you know, those guys that they come into the huddle and they just kind of have that presence, that quarterback. That's what he has. Like, he's not going to wow you with what he says in a press conference. I don't think. Maybe he's grown into that, but he's going to win players just by being real with them and coming down their level and, you know, being one of the guys, but also being in control. And that's what I noticed at Mizzou. You know, when your kid's getting recruited, you look at, you know, the quarterbacks and from 1 to 3 and the running back from 1 to 4 and just see how they interact with coaches. And what I could say at Mizzou from my time, and I was around them quite a bit, because that was one of my son's top choices.
Yeah.
And, everybody seemed to like him, whether they were a starter, you know, or a guy that was just, barely getting, you know, a lot of time.
If you look at what he did in Missouri, he scored points as the OC. If you look at what he did, and he had Drew Locke, yes, we get that, but, and then he went to UCF, and he continued to score points. Offenses that have ranked in the top 10 the whole 3 years that he was there. You got to score points now. Like, I see a lot of negativity, and we've been talking to folks, and they've been pretty well-reasoned, I think, for the most part, on the phones, Aaron. But when you look at this guy and what he can bring as an offensive mind, to me, that's where football is going. So if you want a real reason for optimism, if you're disappointed it's not some big flashy name, Heupel as an offensive mind puts you kind of in the mode of where you need to be to compete.
Yeah, and I'm a guy that bleeds orange, of course. You guys know that on Twitter. But I think what our fan base needs to understand is we don't have the tools. So we don't have that Corvette, you know, to go jump in and run down the freeway. If we're just being honest, we don't have the talent that it takes to, you know, beat Alabama or compete with Georgia. But I think what Heupel does and what he always did at Missouri, what he's done at UCF, is he's taken some solid pieces and put them all over the field and stretch defenses. And I mean, just like the little bubble pass, I mean, they do it better than anybody. I think anybody's ever done it. It's a 5-yard run because maybe they didn't have a great line to open up holes. So like people that don't really understand the X's and O's of football and strategy, they don't understand where we are. Carl Pickens is not out wide. Joey Kent is not out wide. These people are Peyton Manning, aren't at quarterback, and you can go through a levy of running backs that just aren't there right now. So I think I'm excited about that he'll be able to produce points with what we have right there and then quite possibly entice some Corvettes and Lexus and Teslas to want to come to school there because you can play in this great offense at a great school. So I think it's about realizing where we are, and this is exactly what we need. Now, to go along with that, I think you don't pay him as much as you were going to pay James Franklin or Campbell or Fleck. And now you can go out and pay a Muschamp, you know, a Charlie Strong. I don't know that it'll be those names. I'm just, you know, spitballing here. But now you can go get Jeff Levy from Ole Miss and pay him $2 million and pay a DC, you know, $2 million, $2.5 million. And now we're cooking with grease because, you know, we have the footprint for a great offensive mind. And then you go get some guys that can recruit and coach some defense and maybe entice some guys to transfer in. And now we're, you know, instead of this being a 5-year build, because that's what I think it is, you know, maybe you turn it into a 3-year rebuild.
So during your time in which your son was being recruited by him and just your interactions with him, that's been one of his knocks is, oh, well, he's not a heck of a recruiter. And, you know, and do you think that can be turned over a little bit more with the resources, like you said, that he's going to be able to have at Tennessee and compete with those guys? And again, there is a lot we're up against, as a whole. And you don't have to be happy about this hire, but it's just one of those. Sit back and wait, and let's see if he can adjust to recruiting in the SEC.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with your point. And I think the biggest part of, I think the people that have failed there and the people that have succeeded there is probably the staff in between them, the personnel director, the assistants. You know, you have to get a young staff. You got to have guys that can recruit. You know, when we were in school, you know, Coach Former wasn't, I'm not going to say he wasn't a great recruiter, but I think it was so easy to him because he had so many guys like Kippy Brown and Garner and Ramsey and people like that that got the great kids on campus. I tell people all the time, the biggest part of recruiting at the University of Tennessee is to get guys on campus. Mm-hmm. If they can get you in the building, I mean, our facilities are second to none. Our fan base is second to none. Our legacy of guys playing in the NFL is second to none. We just need to get you on campus. The problem is a lot of the last staff hadn't been able to get guys on campus. So if we can get you in the building, I mean, that's half the battle. And then answer your first part of your question, mm-hmm. I think people are underrating Heupel because of some of the places he's been and the resources he's had. Because the thing I loved about him, to be honest, was he was just real. You get so many of these guys that's trying to be somebody that they're not in recruiting at a lot of these big schools. And he was just real. He put the facts out there, and he didn't try to wow you. He just was himself. And I appreciated that. Maybe that's the – you know, the pro athlete, the college athlete in me, but
yeah.
He wasn't grandstanding. But I think you can go hire some guys that do a little grandstanding to get those guys in the building.
Aaron Hayden, our guest here, of course, former running back at the University of Tennessee and got to know Josh Heupel a bit at Missouri. Do you sense, you talked about getting him in the building. How about keeping him in the building? We've seen a lot of guys transfer out. There's some that haven't enrolled elsewhere. That potentially could shift their mind and pull themselves back out of the transfer portal. Do you think Josh Heupel is enough to stop the floodgates in terms of guys leaving the university, or do you sense it's not really going to have much impact one way or the other?
Well, I think if you're a guy that's trying to get to that next level, if you look at the guys, offensive linemen, receivers, quarterback, running back that he's put in the league or he's been associated with and putting in the league, I think you have to stop and look. If I'm Eric Gray, I jump back, you know, back in the saddle and go play in that offense and you know, rush for 1,000 yards and probably catch, you know, 700 yards. So he's the first guy that kind of comes to mind for me that I will be jumping back in. So hopefully he does. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think it goes back to that hire. Whatever hire you make, you know, it's probably going to determine because people see him as an offensive coach. I know he's the head coach, but if I'm a defensive guy, you know, I want to see the staff that you bring in. So if Rodney Garner is going to be my D-line coach, that probably pauses and makes me think, I might want to jump back in the saddle, you know, over here on defense. So I think it just depends on who he hires as far as his staff. And that's another thing with you think about this class of 22 that my son's in. I think it's going to have a lot to do with who he hires underneath him, especially if he's not going to be, you know, the guy that's, you know, rah-rah and selling things and, you know, has all the catchy slogans. Yeah. I'm glad he's not that guy.
Right.
I think we've had enough of that. But it's going to determine, I think a lot of his success is going to be determined on who he hires. And if we were going to pay $8 million to James Franklin, you know, I don't know what Heupel's going to get, but I would assume that there's a lot of money out there to go hire some great assistants that have a lot of SEC experience, ties, and could get kids excited about coming to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, I think we heard the number might be somewhere around $4 million, so that would back up your point there. All the guys that we've had on the last few weeks since this has become the story, and we knew Pruitt was out, Troy Fleming, Robert Ayers, Gerard Mayo, they've all talked about culture. They've all talked about, and Joey Kent as well, they've talked about the lack of culture and about how the embracing of some of the guys in the past and making it special for the guys that are there now to get I think it was Robert Ayers that mentioned that Peyton Manning gave him a compliment that he's never forgotten. It was just one sentence, but it meant a lot to him. You're talking about Heupel as a player's coach, as a guy that people like to be around. Do you sense he would be welcoming of the Ramon Fosters of the world, the Aaron Haydens of the world, the Gerard Mayos of the world, guys that would want to come back and help in the rebuilding process?
Well, I got a call last night. I'm not going to say who it was from because it wouldn't be fair to put them out like that. But it's somebody that's going to be on his staff. And that was one of the first things that he asked me about, is what is the relationship with guys like us, the VFL, and the program. And, you know, I talked to him a lot about what Reggie Cobb and Chuck Webb meant to me when I never played with those guys, but they were like big brothers and showed up at the dorm and, you know, took care of us and gave us great advice. And I tried to do the same thing with Jay Graham and Montario Hardesty and, and Jamal Lewis and guys like that. And so we had a very tight-knit running back group as far as VFL, Charlie Garner. You know, I still talk to all those guys. And I didn't play with Gerald Riggs and I, you know, I didn't play with Houston and guys like that, but I still have and Juice Davis. I didn't play with those guys, but we have a bond that that's just really special because we all, you know, tote the rock on the hill. And that's what I explained to him. There has to be a bridge built back to former players, and people can get mad when I say this, but it can't just be Peyton Manning. And you know, I'm, you know, people always know me to just kind of speak my mind, but it can't just be, you know, Peyton Manning. There's a lot of guys that broke legs and tore knees and all type of things that they're dealing with now, and a lot of us that got a lot of success, you know, myself included, for being, you know, wearing that orange jersey. So we understand that we got some things, but we still have a lot to give. And I think that's one of the big priorities that I think they can do on the Hill. They can bring some diversity at all levels, and I think they can connect the former players back to the program. We need to be walking up and down the sideline. We need to be popping in to the complex. And if we want to come up there and run 40-yard dashes on the turf fields and lift in the weight room, I would think that should be welcome because it's welcome at LSU. You know, it's welcome at Alabama. It's welcome at Florida. And, you know, when we left there, we were on that same level. So
preach,
I don't
Aaron. See why. Preach, man.
There it is.
I want to sit around and have a powwow with you now about the lineages that you said are passed down. Mentioning guys like Montario Hardesty, you're a guy that was removed from the university for a little while. You know Montario, just G. Riggs. And G. Riggs is a guy, man, that kind of brought me under his wings as an older guy in a different position, man. And you speak about that, and it kind of gives me chills because that's what you expected when you walked onto that campus is, man, those guys going to take care of me. A John Poe, Antonio Gaines that welcomed me like I was their brothers, man. And you're right. Mentioning Peyton is the biggest name out there. But there are guys in that fold that, hey, we bled together. We went to surgery together. We broke bones together. Like that part of it, those guys should be open door policy at all times.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And when I think about the culture, when we speak about the culture, what people don't understand, you know, back in the day, so to speak, to use that word, we held each other accountable. All this portal stuff, you got to have a culture that say, "Bruh, really? You jumping in the portal? We trying to go, you know, down Tuscaloosa and beat Bama,
right?
You know, or you know, all these guys that I see a lot of guys, you know, they're hurt and they don't know if they're going to play, or you didn't have a chance to do all that, man. Bruh, can you walk? You better get your butt back on that field and let's go down between these hedges and beat Georgia." Like, it meant something to us. And I think bringing us back in and having us involved, I can remember making a couple calls. I won't say who the running backs were, but I've made a couple calls before with some guys that Coach Cutts had told me, you know, they wasn't giving their all and they could be great. And they turned out, to be great. But, you know, I made a call. Jay Graham has made a call to a couple of guys. And I can remember when Reggie Cobb checked me. Mm-hmm. That's just the way, you know, that's just the way it was. I go into an office with Kippy Brown, said meet me in my office, and I go in there, Reggie Cobb sitting in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he helped me mature.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. You know, he helped me mature, and I needed that because I didn't hear it from anybody else. So it would be with the talent and what we've been through, our legacy is still Alabama's legacy and the University of Miami and Oklahoma and places like that. We may not be there now,
right?
But our legacy is there. So why wouldn't you have that part of the program so that these kids could truly understand what it means to wear number 24 or, you know, number one? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember us having those conversations with, you know, who's wore this jersey before.
And right.
I was honored to wear Tony Thompson's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Bryson was honored to wear my jersey. I knew. I guarantee you that these kids couldn't tell you that Jason Swain wore number one if I'm wearing number one right now. Like, I bet you those guys couldn't tell you. Couldn't mm-hmm. tell you that because we hadn't embraced that. All we embrace is the mannequins, you know, the jerseys of the first rounders or you know, the guys that everybody know and Vol Nation, their names come off their tongue.
Right.
We got it, man, there's so many people, man. You know how it was.
Absolutely.
When you was there, 1 through 4. I played with 4 starting running backs was in my meeting room when I was at the University of Tennessee. 4 NFL starting running backs.
Wow.
So, you know, just think about that. We're deeper than a lot of people give us credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time to make that connection back.
Aaron, man, this Beautiful. Is awesome, man. Yeah. We kept you like 3-4 minutes than we meant to, but this is great insight. And this you just got to have some nuance, man.
Yeah.
We got to wait and see. If he stinks in 3 years, then we can have a different conversation. But let's let him coach a little bit. Let's let him. He's taking on a really big challenge. I think we all agree on that.
I think the last point I'll make, because I know you guys got to go, is it's the perfect scenario, because I think a coach should be given 5 years before you really, really judge him, because now he's played with his junior and seniors that he recruited. And I mm-hmm. think because of the dynamics of Danny White being the AD, I think that will happen. So this is our best chance to get it fixed. And then I'm going to quote somebody. What the hell we got to lose? Where are we at, and what the hell do we have to lose to support this guy?
Man.
Aaron, thank you, man.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You.
All right, bro.
Absolutely. Take care.
That's Aaron Hayden at Ram4UT on Twitter.
VFL.
Well, when I asked him a culture question, I kind of thought I knew what I was going to get, but I didn't know I was going to get it that much in detail.
He talks. Think about the guys he's reeling off. This is eras of different guys from old to young. I'm thinking about Harry Galbraith that brought me through. You know, Michael Munoz was a guy. It's just Fred Weary was a guy. Cozy Coleman. I talked to all of these guys at UT. Imagine yeah. that, you know?
615-737-1045. The guests are done. So now you can go ahead and have your say if you'd like. What's your reaction to the Josh Heupel hire at the University of Tennessee? 615-737-1045. We're on Twitter at JMartinRamon. You can also comment there. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone.